yet it's codified into federal law.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they implemented it in this Patriot 2 or Patriot 1, I forget which.
Uh-huh.
You know how the pages go on and on and on with it.
But yes.
Yeah, it's already implemented. As soon as our supreme moron leader can implement it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll fake an outbreak if they have to kill some people with poison or some disease that's non-spreadable. They'll get everybody in a huff and a panic. They'll call martial law, and then they can pick and choose what areas they want to seal off and cauterize.
And the publicity won't be.
You know
there.
What that means, don't you?
Cauterize. Yeah.
This is all about population reduction. You're not going to get anything out of this deal, even if you take the vaccine, other than maybe slavery.
Correct.
But they're going to kill you either way. Do you want to go quick or you don't want to go slow? It's your choice. You know, we're at that point.
There it is.
And I don't know what people are, where their heads are, but they panic worse than a bunch of dumb farm animals when things like this happen.
Uh-huh.
They'll seal areas off. They'll make the whole thing up if they have to. And then they'll come in and cauterize it so the outbreak doesn't spread, which really is a stupid thing anyway, because anything that'd be carried through the air, even if you cauterize an outbreak area, is only going to slow it down. It's still out there. Look how far, theoretically, this thing spread across the earth. It kills birds, but I don't think it kills that many people. I'm not scared of the avian flu. I think it's a bogus
thing.
I think it's going to be an excuse.
I think the ultimate direction here is to get the society off of meat and meat products, and we've all got to be vegetarians, and I think that is the plan under sustainable development.
Well, look what the brainwashing cults do. They always get you on low-protein diets so you can't think for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can control you easily. But they had those people die up in Toronto a week before they had reports of lots of birds dead on the ground. So there you have it.
Yeah. And
it's,
so
it's making its way here. Then all of a sudden you'll hear about it maybe in Chicago or Detroit. And there we go. They're going to roll them out, Chris.
Yeah, I see here on, in the paper on page 8, chronic ailments such as heart disease, cancer, and diabetes will kill nearly 400 people over the next 10 years. Okay, that's not connecting to what we're going at, but this comes from the World Health Organization. And then they connect to recent years, these chronic conditions were overshadowed by infectious diseases such as HIV/AIDS. Many have chronicled that as a designer disease set up to decimate the population of Africa and here. So we see all these set up scenarios being played out, don't we, Bob?
Oh, yeah, but you know full well that they're not going to succeed in the end, and that's, it always falls apart under its own weight. However, most of us will probably die in the process.
Well, there's the sad scenario that we're living today, and certainly we have many that have died in the past for the UN system, and that is not comforting to me, never has been comforting to me. I've been living with it all my life, knowing this.
Well, I used to say in grade school to the people at UN when they bring that crap up in school, I'd say, that's communism. They're communist.
That's right.
Boy, they treated me like a rabid dog at school, and I won't ever forget it. So now when they get their little vaccine or their disease or whatever, however the big government wants to get rid of them, I'm not going to feel sorry for the people. I can't.
No, I understand.
But I can't anymore. I mean, even in the Bible itself, it says at a certain point when the people reject the knowledge of the truth so long, don't pray for the good of these people anymore. Don't pray for them. Don't worry about them.
Keep in mind my old high school, La Cunada High School up there in Flint Ridge, California, they have three flagpoles in front of the school. One with one in the middle that's taller than the two on each side. And one of those flagpoles is empty right now. Ultimately, there'll be a UN flag in the middle, the U.S. flag on one side, the California flag on the other side.
No, it'll be the Mexican flag on the other side. You better believe it. That's what it's going to be. Don't forget that.
Well,
that's a Mexican state anyway.
Well, it's been proposed to be that way by the influx of immigration, and certainly the voters voted down medical benefits for the people of illegal aliens, and they didn't show up the next day at the elections. Judge Mariana Fowler overturned the will of the people in California, and they continue to show up for their medical benefits
And these people are out here are so stupid, they haven't even made an attempt, even though we've had hospitals closed down and our medical system suffering, they haven't even made an attempt to stop these immigrants from getting health care.
No, and this is under the guise of the UN system. This is, everyone has the right to health care. These human rights declarations.
Everybody but me and you.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah, and there's the setup, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't wait for cataclysm and chaos in a way, because I'm a pretty cool head and I can handle a lot of stress. I've been through a lot of stress, so it's not going to hurt me like it's going to hurt these other people, and they've got everything they've got coming. If they haven't lifted a hand to notify, to inform, to rebel in their own peaceful way when it was a chance to be peaceful, they deserve every ounce of chaos and trouble they get. I don't have a bit of sympathy about it. I'm sorry to say it, but that's the way it is. And if God can find mercy on their soul when they repent, hey, great. But
well,
worldly speaking, I don't have any sympathy for them. They're too dumb. I mean, I got to agree with the elites. Most of these people are too dumb to stay in the gene pool.
Well, keep in mind, they've been dumbed down for a period of time. You know.
Well, what explains other people who aren't, huh?
Well, the parental upbringing. The parents that had the knowledge, knowing what they know, passed down from their parents, that's where it probably comes from.
You can't deep down in your heart, no matter who you are, see that there's something desperately wrong?
Oh, you would think so.
In your soul?
Well, that's why I think this is a perfect opportunity to increase our numbers.
Oh, by the way, America Online is not the only one that's not carrying them. I tell you what, I haven't been able to get any of you guys that are on the shortwave at the library for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But the other carrier that I heard about that wasn't carrying these certain Patriot sites and websites are SBC.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty big too, you know.
Yes.
So it looks like the information squelch is on its way now. I would say everybody needs their shortwave radio.
Well, let's hope we can generate enough people to get involved, to get concerned, and to get it in place that they understand what's going on here, because, yes, martial law is planned for us.
It's days away now.
Unfortunately.
See you later, Chris.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Not pleasant to be doing this, listeners. I don't see, put it this way. There are a lot of other things that would be more positive to do today if the day was right for that to happen. The day isn't right for that to happen. We've had all these setup scenarios from the past, these planned Pearl Harbor events, September 11, 2001, obviously a setup to those that do any kind of research at all. And here we have a police state in place. The engineering of a police state from the past was well engineered and well chronicled, if you researched enough to understand. The standards for police departments, it used to be the LAPD was the premier police department to join. Other states modeled their police departments after the LAPD. Well, there was a time when the standards were changed in the LAPD. And I think that came under Chief Gates's watch. Chief Daryl Gates, back in the late 80s, early 90s. I believe these standards for police officers have been lowered to allow people that shouldn't be in police departments to be there. That's just a safe way to put it at this juncture. Because, listeners, it's all a planned event. All these situations are planned for us to take us down, to decrease the population, to enslave us. And yes, we're already enslaved. The perfect slave believes he's free. The money system's controlled. And, you know, I understand all this. You understand most of it as well. Let's go to Glenn in Kansas. Glenn, welcome.
It's good to talk to you again.
Mm-hmm.
Long-time listener, supporter, and once he even interviewed me.
Very good.
And I want to just get a plug in before I get off on this HIPAA, that in order to keep this shortwave going, you have to throw some money into the pot, folks. So let's send some money orders. Let's keep this going to pay the freight and keep the lights on.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Glenn. That number for the RBN office is 800-724-2719, 800-724-2719. You support the products on the network, but give them a pledge, because at this juncture, It's very difficult to keep things in place with the financing that's in place. Glenn, continue.
Yeah, well, just one last thing, tithe to the one that taught you. That's just the way it goes. Now I want to talk about this HIPAA deal, because, see, I'm a firefighter, and we work ambulance and all this stuff, and we can't give out information about the patient's status or what happened to them. Otherwise, we can be fired. Anybody that is a provider for, say, like in Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Medicare, Medicaid, anything to do with the military, transporting military dependents or patients, we cannot give out any information to anybody.
Let me ask you, Glenn, what does HIPAA stand for?
I don't have the paperwork in front of me.
Do you know what it's spelled? How is it spelled?
Well,
is it HIPPA?
What I need to do is scan some stuff into you on what the paperwork is on it for Kansas, and send it to you on your email.
Okay.
It'll be a couple of days. Give me a few days, but basically,
do you know what HIPAA? Do you know how it's spelled?
I forgot because I'm kind of emotional about this.
Uh-huh.
But at any rate, when we're looking at this, the only place that it's wide open and transparent is when the government wants to know something about you. Now, let's say, for instance, you have a little bit of trouble with anger management at work, so you take an anger management course. It's paid for by your employer at the local nut and bolt clinic, which I'm talking about mental health organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They build that in, it goes on records, it's filed, and all of a sudden you want to buy a shotgun. There have been a couple of people that I know of that have been turned down because they were treated for depression, for being able to buy a firearm to go hunting with their kids, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's always omnipresent, this government intrusiveness that's there, yet we're transparent, but yet their secret to a certain extent, except when it comes to know about health conditions. Now, I went through this hassle. One of my sons in college, and he had to go see a doctor because he had some health problems, and at any rate, there was a bill that was left unpaid. It was like pulling teeth to find out how much it was so I could write a check and pay him. I had to actually talk with the lady in the office of the doctor, and I finally talked to her into giving me an encrypted version of what the bill was so I could pay it. So part of this is, we have to jump through all kinds of hoops in order to find out the condition of our loved ones and close family, you know, close and people that we care about.
Here we have a gentleman that's in his 50s. He's concerned about his mother that's in her 90s.
It's absolutely ridiculous. But see, the thing is, unless she signs some paperwork in advance for him to be the receiver of information, he can't get anything out of him.
Mm.
And the doctors, they're not happy about this because they can't share back and forth and become better doctors for it. It actually throws them back into the more solid pharmaceutical industrial complex mode. And it really controls them a lot. Yet, mm-hmm. when you have somebody, FBI or any of these alphabet soup organizations, come around and a BATF wants some answers, they can get them.
I'll tell you what, Glenn, why don't you stay with us, Glenn?
Sure.
We have Trish, who has some information for us.
Great.
Trish, are you there?
Oh.
Hi, Trish.
I'm good. How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Good. I believe that stands for Health Insurance Portability and Privacy Act.
Exactly.
I believe that's what it stands for.
Well, I don't know about it being so portable.
Well, but they say everything means opposites to those people, just like the UN.
Health insurance what now?
Portability and Privacy Act. I believe that's what, I think that's what it stands for. I know it's got two P's in it.
Uh-huh.
Well, in a few days, we're going to have some information. I'll make sure I get that document citation sent in to Chris so he sees more of it. You'll probably need it. I'll see if I can put it in PDF files.
Okay.
That way, so that way you can work with them that way. But they're very, very, we have to keep this stuff under lock and key. We've got doors locked. We have to, even when it comes to, so you're familiar with these tools called an AccuCheck for diabetes.
Yes.
Okay, even that records of the testing, which has to be done on a weekly basis, that must be kept under lock and key, because every time a patient has been, you run an AccuCheck on a patient and you get their blood sugar, you have to document that and then retest the AccuCheck after that run, and then you write their name in. Anytime a patient's name is recorded anywhere, we have to keep that document under lock and key. And when it comes to documents sent back and forth to the hospital via faxes, they have to lock everything up. So it's very secretive to family members and neighbors and people that care about you. But on the other hand, when it comes to people that really don't care about you, like a government agency, it's completely the other way around.
If you read the fine print in that, in the longer form that people have to sign, it says you can sell off the information to whomever you want to. The government can do that.
Exactly. Exactly right. And
let's continue on the other side with both of you. Both of you stay with me. Let's continue on the other side to get to the bottom of this. As we close out this hour, we'll continue into the second hour. Barney, stay with us. And support these sponsors, listeners. It's vital that you support these sponsors and the network. Stay with us. Welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. We see from Kishwaukee Community Hospital, Health Insurance Portability and Privacy Act is meant to improve privacy for people receiving health care. The federal HIPAA legislation, which has been years in the making, centers on patient rights by assuring the privacy of personal health information. The provisions also give patients more control over who sees their private medical information. As a result of the new law, when patients come to the hospitals or any of the other health system entities, they will be given a joint notice of privacy practices describing how the facility will use their health information internally and under what circumstances their information will be shared with third parties. Well, how about the patient that is mentally incompetent to know what's going on for her? There is the question that we ask. Anyway, what do you think about that, Trish?
They can sell that information. Yeah, your family may not be able to see it, but let me tell you, if somebody comes along with a nice big fat checkbook and says, I want this block of information or that block of information, they can sell it to whoever, in the, you know, to the government or whoever, the UN even, they want to.
Glenn?
She's 100% right on that.
I've studied.
Now there's another thing is now, when it comes to court cases, now that's where things come open say like one incident. I'll give you a scenario. We had an illegal alien with her child in a grocery store and wasn't watching it, and the kid got his hand all tangled up in the mechanism of the cash register, the mat there, the escalator. At any rate, it was open, all the documents were open in the court to the lawyers and to anybody there, and anything in testimony or brought out as evidence in the court was available to the media, which there's a loophole in that. So it's not exactly as private as they say it is.
No, it's not.
But when you come into where, if it's in a court environment, now, where it comes into, say, like you're going to a quack, and there's a lot of doctors that are just quacks out there. I'll tell you, a lot of them are just pill pushers, and that's all they've ever learned from the pharmaceutical companies, because that's who teaches them in the schools.
They're just following orders.
Exactly, and they follow whatever the procedure is, and they're not thinking about really patients as being human beings anymore. We're just, we're the goyim. But at any rate, when we get get back to this. Let me stay on track here. When it comes to, say, like, you've got a vaccine that is poisoning children, and people have a hard time finding out what and what the lot number is and things of that nature, that information that is critical to understanding contaminated and dangerous vaccines becomes obscured, and this is very dangerous, but it protects the pharmaceutical companies from any kind of litigation, and really I think they need to be litigated against. They've been poisoning us for a long time, and they've been swindling us with these. Well, this whole deal about the flu virus is—they're out there trying to sell their vaccines, and of course, their vaccines is only good for last year's flu. So, what good is it going to do you for another for in taking a vaccine that doesn't work? It's kind of like.
Tell you what. Why don't you both stay with us again until the next commercial pause, so we can wrap this up. But Trish and Glenn, stay with us, and we'll continue with this HIPAA situation, Health Insurance Portability and Privacy Act. Stay with us, listeners. Into the second hour we go. Continue with the second hour of the broadcast, American Exposé. Kishwaukee Community Hospital, they say here, the law does not interfere with the care and treatment of patients, but it does regulate how hospitals can share personal health information with government agencies and third parties. Well, does a son concerned about his mother, is that a third party, Glenn?
Or the family. The problem is that we have a system that really doesn't care about family anymore. We've seen it actually our entire government against the family unit.
Trish?
Like you said yesterday, they're trying to destroy the family unit, and I'd say they're doing a real good job.
Yes.
And the thing is that we've got the big money machine in the pharmaceutical industries. They're being protected via this. They like HIPAA. They think it's wonderful.
Those medical doctors to be glorified drug dealers, easily manipulated by drug companies. More than likely, that'll get on our site tomorrow by Dennis. Let's give Glenn and Trish a parting shot over the bow of democracy. Glenn, go ahead.
Well, actually, I'm going to say we're not supposed to have democracy. We're supposed to have a republic.
Yes.
And because a democracy is just three wolves voting with two sheep on what's for dinner. That's basically what mob rule.
Sheep ain't got a chance, do they?
Say again?
The sheep ain't got a chance, do they?
Well, actually, the sheep are submitting themselves. That's what democracy is.
I know it is, but if they voted, they wouldn't have a chance.
No,
is what I'm
you
saying.
Don't have a chance. But at any rate, you have to take personal responsibility for your health. You have to take personal responsibility for any of your activities, because we're not living in a free country anymore, folks. It's getting worse, and eventually, yeah, we're going to face everything that you can read about in Solzhenitsyn's books, Gulag Archipelago. It's almost verbatim, like we're going to repeat the same thing.
Yes.
And we have to really start saying that, you know, when is enough enough? And actually, my ox is gored a long time ago, but at any rate, we're losing at an accelerated rate.
And to you, I say, welcome to the church of the gored ox.
Yeah, the gored ox, yeah. Well, with that, I just want to say, everybody, throw your pennies, nickels, and dimes, or whatever you can afford, send it off to the network, and keep the shortwave radio going, because I think that the Internet's going to be closed down to us pretty soon, and it'll be nothing more than a government propaganda arm. So I guess it's Pravda. We get more truth out of Pravda these days, don't we?
You know, apparently so.
Isn't that amazing?
With that, I'll let you go. Hang in there, Chris.
Thank you, Glenn.
Say bye.
Bye-bye now. And Trish, your thoughts?
My thoughts are, other than cosmetic differences between the two people, the only difference between a doctor and a drug pusher is one went to school and the other one didn't.
Well stated. Well stated, Trish. I sure appreciate your help.
Thank you, Chris. Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much. So we sort of have the legit on HIPAA. We'll get more into that. I hope that individual that was concerned that's a listener, has more information to do his research into what's going on there with HIPAA, the Health Insurance Portability and Privacy Act. It took a little time to get to this, and it just kind of happened, and that's the way this program works. Spontaneous, on a regular basis. Gary in Tennessee. Hello, Gary.
Hey, big guy. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
All right. I was wondering, can I throw another topic on the plate?
Why not?
Okay. Now, I was wondering, now, there may be other callers out there that's had the same experience in their county, but have y'all heard of local counties around the states, you know, around this country, the county sheriffs, sheriff's department, hiring, or more or less looking for, what's the name of them? All this mess going on done got me all thinking here. But anyway, what I'm looking at, I'm trying to put this in order here. They're looking for volunteer police officers, more or less. I mean, it's what they're more or less calling it. But they're...
it's like neighborhood watch.
Well, not necessarily. But they've got the same... ability as a regular deputy, when time comes, if they need them. The only thing is they're not being paid. Now, they are taking applications for this, but they do a background check. You know, you've got to go through all the same stuff as you got to do to be a regular deputy.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, here in this county, they've already taken applications for this, and they're, you know, going over all this and getting people put in place for this situation or whatever it might be. But I'm just wondering how many people out there in their counties are, you know, with this situation going on, the same thing. And if they are, you know, call in, you know, let other people that might know that don't know about it, don't know about it.
And these are volunteer police officers?
More or less, yeah. That's more or less what they are.
Will they be allowed to carry weapons?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, they'll do, you know, they say they're doing a thorough background check and, you know, all the normal procedures that you would do to become a deputy.
Is there a program name to this that you know of?
There is, but I'm trying to think of it, and I can't place it.
Why don't you do this?
I just froze.
is it called the Civilian Police Force?
Well, I don't know. It's not that. It's mm-hmm. There's another name for it.
Maybe what you can do is find out and call back and let us know what it might be.
Okay, I'll do that.
Would that be logical?
Yes, that would be perfectly logical.
It's not called the Civilian Police Force, though.
No. This is just more or less what they are. I mean, they're not going to be paid or anything. They're not going to have any kind of income out of this.
Okay.
This is just a voluntary thing that they're asking people to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they've done... You know, start taking applications and...
Okay, let's stay together here and let's bring John in Tennessee up. John, do you have information about this?
Well, Chris, I'm in Tennessee also. I don't know what part of Tennessee he's from. I'm in Dixon County, and that's actually... The name they put on it around Dixon County is like a civilian police force. It's voluntary. It's with the sheriff's department. And it's the whole thing. These guys are carrying. You got to buy your own weapon or your own uniform. But to look at them, you have no idea that they're not you know, a sheriff. It's a, I don't know. It'd be like Gomer Pyle being the sheriff under Barney. That's the way I would picture it. I've got a friend that's involved in it actually, and it, you know.
Now we've got to disseminate between the sheriff's department and the police department, because the sheriff is the local elected representative of the last elected police officer. Is it universal in both the police department and the sheriff's department?
No, it's actually what they have here where I'm at. It's in the sheriff's department, and it's the way, I suppose, of smaller counties. They're not really deputizing these people. But they're sending them to the school, and they're riding with them in the cars. They go through a training period. They purchase their own uniforms. They buy their own sidearm. And, you know, they help out. They help the sheriff's department. Now, if you have a good sheriff, one that really understands his authority and understands that, you know, when people hear or talk about a high sheriff, that he's truly a high sheriff, that is his county, you have a good sheriff, it would be a good thing. If you have a sheriff that's a lackey, you know, for someone or doesn't really understand his authority, it could be a terrible thing. So I've got a friend that's involved in it. He's a straight up guy, you know, but there's a lot of them that are wannabe you know, they're wannabes, and it lets them hang out with the sheriff's department, make friends of the cops, and that kind of thing.
Okay, let's keep you two together here, and let's bring up John in Texas and see what John in Texas knows about this civilian police force. John, do you know anything more?
Yes, sir. I'm from Austin, Texas, and I was from Corpus Christi, Texas, and it's called a reserve officer program.
That may be the name.
Reserve officer?
Yeah. It's the reserve officer program? Is that what it
yes.
is?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And I went through the academy. Basically, what they do is they have their own police academy that you go through, and there's three different classes. There's a basic, intermediate, and advanced. And I went through all three. It's like 525 hours that you get. And basically what you do is they put you in two-man units with other police officers in the car. So you're riding with another officer. But when you go to calls, it's safer to send one car so they can have another car open to handle other calls. So basically you're helping out the county or city that you live in to respond to calls, and you basically have more officers out there on the street instead of sending two cars every time to a call.
Uh-huh.
And, I did it in Corpus Christi, and it was a good thing, and had a lot of fun doing it, and we do the same program and everything, but basically they don't put us out by ourselves. We go through the training and everything, and if you want to go on your own, you have to ride with an officer and go through the field training officer program, and he has to basically supervise you for 4 or 5 months and make sure you know what you're doing before you get put out on the street by yourself.
Now,
what they're doing here in Tennessee, Chris,
yeah, go ahead.
For someone that may have a desire to become a sheriff or to become an officer, he goes through, he had the correct name also, it was reserve. But if you're a reserve officer and then there's an opening that comes up in the county, naturally, if you already have the training, you're going to be more likely to get a position as a full-time sheriff or deputy than someone that would be coming, you know, even maybe from another part of the country into the sheriff's department making a physical move with their family. You would be more likely to get that spot.
I see. Now, John, in Texas, being that you've gone through this before, are they lowering the standards for police officers to get into the department?
Not over here. It's really strict to get in over here. They go through, you have to go through a lot, you know, lie detector tests, background investigation. They call your relatives. They call your friends. They just do a thorough check on you,
uh-huh.
which is a good thing. And,
yes.
You know, the city I live in Austin now, which is the capital of Texas, I wish they had it here, and they don't. We're so shorthanded over here. It takes, you know, 45 minutes for an officer to respond to an accident or any kind of call, you know, any major call. It seems like it takes, you know, 15, 20 minutes because they're so shorthanded. Then, you know, by the time they go through the training and put their own officers through it, it just takes a long time. I wish they would, you know, have a reserve officer program here to get more officers down the street and help out, you know, single-man units.
What's kind of sad, guys, is that it's come to the point where we have to even have a question as to whether or not our government would lower standards or possibly even incorporate a civilian law enforcement agency. You know, even I look at it, you know, it may not be happening now. It's a matter of time. When they have a police state and they need people to enforce their rules, they get whoever's willing to do what's necessary, whether it's family members or friends or relatives or anything else. They'll be ready to enlist as many civilians as they can get to be their little turncoats.
See, that's where I was going.
Benedict Arnold.
Yeah, well, gentlemen, I appreciate your thoughts on all this. I think it's very, very important and vital. You know, listeners, this is all important. But we've got to keep our police as independent as possible. And how do you do that with the federal funding that comes into place? We'll be back to continue with the website. American Expo and gets to that information that Dennis and Darren put up. Gary in Tennessee, you have a parting shot, do you?
Oh, yes, I do.
Go ahead.
See, that, well, you know, he was discussing a while ago about later use. That's kind of where I was heading with this. See, here in this county here not long ago, they had, almost a year ago, they had a federal prison wanting to come in here, and they try to sneak it in without, you know, informing the people about it and putting in the paper and everything else, and they try to sneak by with it. As soon as I found out about it, you know, I took and put petitions out, and it just grew like wildfire. And we put a stop to it. We've stopped that. Demanded answers on, you know, on the guy that was wanting to bring this into this county. Come to find out, he had a lot of skeletons in the closet, and so they didn't allow it. It just, you know, kind of went in the air, and, you know, nobody said anything else about it. But I'm kind of looking for that to come back, because it seems like most counties I hear about are talking about, you know, bringing in federal prisons, which is, you know, something that most people know what they are. They're not really federal prisons, you know, that you know, penitentiaries. I mean, these are something that FEMA's putting out. You know, 96% of their budget goes out to putting these prisons out across the country.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. 96 or 98, I forgot which it is. But there's a big portion anyway, and that seems to be, you know, the growing thing in this country is prisons. And
this is what does not comfort me at all to think about with you have BRAC, base realignment and closure. Well, maybe military bases would be converted to detention facilities.
Mm-hmm. And see, I know when I was in Fort Leonard Wood, all right, the brainwashing that goes on there is just unreal. I mean, it's just crazy.
Where's this again?
In Fort Leonard Wood.
Okay.
Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, brainwashing that goes on in the military is just crazy now. I mean, my brother, he was in Vietnam, and, you know, I've heard a lot of stories, you know, when he went in and the things he went through and, you know, friends that's been in it and everything, but it just seemed like it's just changed, you know, dramatically over the last few years.
Aren't they cooperating with the directives of the UN Charter?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they issue you this and they issue that, but you've got cards they issue, and it's just strictly, you know, the soldier's code is more or less what it is. And every day you see them breaking that code, you know, that code of honor, and they're, you know, just, it's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing that concerns me is, you know, they're talking about this epidemic going around later on, could possibly happen. You know, I don't think, you know, like I said, I think it's just all propaganda, but I believe it's going to happen because they need something. I mean, they need something really big to bring in martial law. I mean, they've tried different things before and it's failed.
Yes.
And so, you know, they're close to home stretch. You know, they've either got to fish or cut bait.
It's already been promoted by Bush.
Exactly. So, you know, that's kind of why I brought that topic up, because I haven't heard anybody, you know, talk about that in their counties. But that's kind of, like I say, where I was leading to with that issue. And, you know, didn't know if that's what, you know, other people had in mind that was going on, or if it was just me. You know, I've kind of watched this over the years and seen it grow. So,
well,
it's just unreal.
I appreciate your participation, Gary. Thank you very much.
I have one question to ask you.
Go ahead.
Okay, the gentleman from Dixon
mm-hmm.
that called in, the caller that called in, if there's any way that I can have him, you know, if he can call in to your show, leave a number, or I can leave my number, or whatever, or we can get in touch with one another.
Why don't you leave your phone number with the board operator?
Okay.
And the gentleman you want to contact again is?
Is in Dixon.
Okay.
I can't remember what the guy's name was.
John?
John, is that what it was?
Yeah, the other gentleman from Tennessee that you were speaking with?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. John, call in and leave your phone number with the board operator so Gary can get a hold of you. You can switch phone numbers there and exchange them with the board operator, and you can get in touch with each other.
I appreciate it, man. I really do.
Thank you, Gary.
Take care.
Okay, I will try. As we see here, we'll take another caller on the other side, but according to Scott Moray, on last evening's edition of Shop Talk from Plot Headquarters for Sunday, October 2nd, 2005, host Lenny Bloom and Sherman Skolnick reported that ABC News has confirmed there are impending indictments of George Walker Bush and Dick Cheney. The revelation was made by none other than George Stephanopoulos. Step on all of us, I always seem to say, on Sunday Morning News Hour this week. And Mr. Step on all of us proclaimed his information came from quote-unquote reliable sources. And, you know, that's very interesting and could be very relevant down the road. Keep in mind, though, the structure in place with Bush naming the new Federal Reserve Chairman. Bush isn't going to name the Federal Reserve Chairman. Bush is going to be told who the next Federal Reserve Chairman is going to be. And there is the crux of the situation, listeners. We are in a UN system where the U.S. Treasury has a governor of the International Monetary Fund of the United Nations. The alternate governor of the IMF is Alan Greenspan, or was Alan Greenspan, the alternate governor, the U.S. governor of the IMF. So we'll continue on the other side. We're bypassing a lot of information today, but the callers want to be involved. I haven't given out the phone number, but we'll take the calls and we'll deal with the information as time progresses.